Welcome to the Once Upon an Island podcast. I'm your host, Wesley, and of course, I am joined by my lovely co-host,
Mary.
And today, we're talking about the final 10 of Survivor 46, and we are going to rank every single person in alphabetical order. Our rankings will be in the description. The confessional count for everyone, which we will often reference throughout this whole podcast, is on the top right corner of the YouTube video. If you're on Spotify, you're just going to have to keep, I guess, a close ear to what we're saying because it's visually on YouTube. But Mary, how did you feel about episode several?
I enjoyed episode several. Several much.
Several much?
Yes.
Seven much? I'm a little confused now what several means to you.
It means all things now.
Jelinski has redefined it.
Yeah, it has expanded beyond Survivor. No, it was a good episode. I enjoyed it. I'm excited that, you know, the merge is finally here. Even though I don't necessarily like how they call it the merge and they still have two tribes or whatever, I like the fact that two people have to go home and that there's drama with all of that, and that I even kind of like the randomness of it because you just don't know who is going to be eligible. So overall, I think it was a really good episode. I enjoyed it a lot.
I'm pro the double vote off, and I'm pro two people getting immunity with this many people left in the game. Mm-hmm. That I am for. I'm just anti the random splitting up. I don't understand the splitting up. Like, we're merged. Let's do back-to-back vote offs. That's fine. Like, that's a cool twist. And let's have two people get immunity. That's okay. But why does it have to be? Why do we have to split them? Why not? It's a fake merge. It's a marketing merge.
Yes. I don't like that it's still under the title of merge. I guess what I do enjoy is that, you know, the position Charlie was in. Like, he felt so alone and desperate, and then come to find out he's not that desperate. You know, like, just the unknown factors. And even Kenzie being in a group of people that she just loved every single one of them. Like, what are you going to do? You know, like, mm-hmm. stuff like that, I think I find interesting. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't work. I think this time it worked really well. The random separation of the tribes.
It just feels like we keep delaying what we actually want, which is everybody voting together as one unit with everyone eligible except for whoever won immunity. Mm-hmm. It's like, why do we have to keep pushing this off? I don't know. But I do agree that this episode last night was one of the better ones, if not the best one of the season.
Yes.
And I feel like that's represented by the enthusiasm seen in a lot of the comments, whereas the first like four episodes, we were like, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. is this how the season's going to go? Banu leaves, the whole thing turns around. Banu was the catalyst to make the season good. Hey, I said it early in season two. I'm like, you know, Vanuatu needed an earthquake in episode five and it got good. Banu needed to leave at the end of episode four and then the season got good. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to end good. I'm saying it has gotten good so far.
It has improved. I will admit that.
Yeah. Get good, scrub. That's what Mary said of the season. She mm-hmm. says that to me when I'm not good at like a game or something. And it encourages me to get better.
Yes. I'm such a loving wife.
Yeah. She's like, get good, scrub. Mary, I'm not very good. Get good. All right. So that's your, do you have any more thoughts? What about Tim and Soda? How do you feel with them as the boots?
I expected Tim. I think I had him highly ranked to go on my fantasy.
He was lowly ranked.
Lowly or whatever. Yeah, exactly. And I expected Soda as well. I wasn't quite sure if it was going to be Soda or Venus. As the episode progressed, I figured it probably was Soda. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I wasn't surprised. And I think they were both good votes. As far as the options that were available. So mm-hmm. yeah, overall, I was fine with the boot.
Tim, we saw coming from a mile away after he got skunked in back-to-back episodes with no confessionals. And then Soda, I felt like, sure, she was definitely available, but I was surprised that, I mean, we know Venus is the main character, so the edit kind of gave it away that mm-hmm. you thought Venus was going last night, but I'm like, Venus is too much of a main character to be going this early in the season,
yeah,
in my opinion. So it kind of felt only because the edit told me, because otherwise I'd been like, Venus, I did not feel like it was really Soda versus Venus. It really felt like Soda was going, mm-hmm. but I was like, Venus makes more sense, right? Like,
sometimes I do have difficulty separating like the edit from what I feel like should happen. I feel like Venus should have gone.
No one trusts Venus.
But at the same time, the more like the closer we got to Tribal, I knew you probably were right. I was just like, I want Venus to go home, I guess.
It was funny during, I forgot which Tribal was, the one where Tim won, I believe. Hunter got two votes and Mary went, no. Yes. And like, because she had never seen, you never seen Survivor before,
we'll
Mary?
Talk about Hunter when we get there, but yeah. I was just mad that he didn't play his idol. So anyways,
She was like, oh, no, as if she forgot that like Hunter has to vote still. We haven't seen his vote. Like, come on. This is just classic Survivor editing.
I understand.
Mary was on edge. She was afraid her boy Hunter was going to go. I'm waiting for you to put Hunter at number one. I got to be frank with you.
He's not going to be number one.
What? All right. Well,
I don't think so.
We have our rankings in the description if you need a text version of them. But let's talk about the secret scenes from this week. Last week, there was not a third secret scene, which is disappointing. I was waiting for them to drop one later. It never happened.
Mm-hmm.
So this week we have two again. Mary, are either of them relevant to winner analysis?
One, I would say no. The other one, I don't. Yes.
Okay.
In a negative way.
So one of these is on Survivor CBS's YouTube channel. You might as well just subscribe there because they upload clips on there. But really, they upload a secret scene or two every week on there. And then the other one comes from EW.com. So, Mary, which one is the relevant one?
The one from Survivor's YouTube channel, I'd say, is relevant. So
EW.com had the tree mail, which is anytime I see tree mail, I'm like, oh my gosh, why is this a secret scene?
It was just tree mail.
It's and a waste of time.
So we won't talk about that one. Yeah. But the other one was called Coach Q's Assessment. And it's Q going through every member of the merch tribe and talking about how much of a threat they are. He says, as a coach, I have a gift. I can connect with people. I can understand people. I have all these people figured out. So here's his list of people and how he has them figured out. Number one, Hunter is a challenge beast, but he doesn't have the mental fortitude to play this game. Tiffany is a social butterfly, and she thinks that's all she has to do to win. She's wrong. Tim, he's smart, and he's a threat, and I don't like him. He's got to go. Maria, she's just a sweet mom. Kinsey, she's not a puzzle winner. She's not a decision maker. She's just going to follow. Charlie, he hasn't done one thing worth talking about in this game.
I wish this had been an actual show, by the way.
I know, I did too. It was so good. Soda, she just wants everyone to like her and talk to her, and she's not gonna win. Venus, she's a snake, and I'm gonna stay away from her. Tevin, he's young, he's likable, but he's not gonna win. He might make it to the end, but he's not gonna win. Ben, he loves Tony and he's playing like Tony. He's being deceiving.
Ben's playing like Tony.
He's being deceptive. He's being loud. He's trying to be likable, but he's strategic and he's playing everybody. The only person here I can't figure out is Liz, but maybe there isn't anything to figure out.
Yeah, well, she's rich. That's all you need to know.
And then he ends this with saying he's 12 hours ahead of everyone else in the game.
Just 12 hours?
He's 12 hours ahead. I don't know why.
I guess in 26 days, that's a big gap.
That is a big gap. He's 12 hours. I could have misheard it. I was furiously taking notes during this, and I'm just like, I could have paused it.
You know,
I did pause it.
It's on YouTube.
Yeah,
you can
I know.
Pause. Okay.
But
you
I was just like, it was so good. I felt like, why wasn't this? I don't know if they don't want to make Q look bad, because this is definitely not a good look for Q. Yeah, I don't think so, because we know Kinsey's smart. She's not necessarily a decision maker, maybe in his group. Anyways, I think
it makes potentially the winner look bad if winners won. I mean, everyone's getting smack talked.
No, everyone's
here.
Getting smack talked by Q.
Yeah.
So, like, I found it funny. I found it, like, kind of hilarious that he thinks he has it all figured out and he really probably doesn't because he has people who aren't really threats really high up and people who are threats like really low. So I just thought it was funny and very
interesting.
We're going
to talk about Q later in his own segment, but
yeah.
He was also the same person who said that he threw the challenge to test his alliance.
I believe. You know, I believe that, actually.
It's not that. It's just that's how he thinks of himself.
Yes, exactly.
You know, he's so confident he's not going anywhere. He can just throw a challenge when there's only like five people eligible.
Yeah.
But I guess the moment you see the way the tribe just split and all of Yanu's in one group, you're like, oh yeah, I'm not going anywhere. So anyways, let's go through everyone alphabetically.
Okay.
Start, and I'll let you lead, Mary. Who do we got first?
First, we have Ben. He is still has a shot in the dark, no other idols or advantages, and has two votes against him at this point.
Ben, I don't understand Ben at the moment. I don't understand where he stands. Like, what do they want out of him? What are we expecting out of him, I guess, Mary? I don't know. What do you think?
Ben right now is a good number. I don't think he's someone you necessarily want to take to the end because he is so likable. He's like almost doesn't necessarily care about playing the game, and in a good way. Like tonight or in this week's episode when Q says, okay, we're going to tell Tim that it's your or Charlie that it's your name being written down. He's like, okay, I'm okay with that. And he just like takes it in stride. And then he said, this is Survivor. You know, you got to risk stuff. You got to play. Like he wants to play. But he's not being so, I think, like, entrenched in it where he can't maybe still have relationships with people.
No, he's good at the relationship part.
He's super good at the relationship part. And he's just so sweet. Like when he at Tribal, when he was saying how he wasn't sure how he was going to do because in real life, he's just the entertainment monkey. Like I wanted to cry. I'm just like, oh, Ben, you're so adorable.
I'm the entertainment monkey on this podcast. Do you cry for me?
No.
What?
Because I love you.
Oh, all right.
You're not just the monkey that I send away at the end of the day.
Imagine that's the case. Like they only talk in the podcast and then Mary shoos him away till next week.
Yeah, no. Anyways, I just like I had a heartfelt connection with him through the TV. I felt like, and you can see that. So he will be a big threat later on, but I don't think he's not a strategy threat. He's not a physical challenge threat that we've seen so far. So his threat level is pretty low. And so that's why I think he might stick around a little bit longer than some other people. But I do think that people are going to recognize how much of a social threat he is and get him out before the end game because he doesn't have any like tight alliances left. Tim's gone.
Siga is falling apart.
Yeah, Siga's kind of falling apart. Loyalty. Yes. And he hasn't really, even at Tribal, Ben was like, okay, well, whatever happens is going to happen, which is a great attitude to happen. Yeah, great attitude to have. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you can still be, maybe his strategic play of like making more connections needs to be upped. But anyways, I don't see him doing that well later on in the game, but he'll be okay for another week or two, in my opinion. But he's only seventh for me.
It was mentioned. We got to mention Ben doesn't have a backstory yet. Or no, he does. He had it in episode two.
Yes.
So Ben has an emotional backstory with pictures. That's very important. A designated time just for Ben. So we can't forget that. So I guess we shouldn't throw Ben away by any means.
Sure.
Heck, last night, Q, not only in the secret scene, as you mentioned, but in the actual show, Q's like, oh, Ben's right. We can get rid of Ben. And during our breakdown podcast I did with Rebecca, I kind of pushed this all aside. I was like, Ben's not really a threat. No one really sees him as a threat. Yeah. But I guess in retrospect, Q sees him as a threat. And I think even Tiffany might have mentioned that Ben's a threat. Mm-hmm. So I apologize. As usual, the well actually comments all roll in. God correct me. God forbid. You know. Anyways, so Ben, I guess he is perceived as a threat, namely by the Yana group, who at the moment looks to be running the game. I thought we could be coming into this merge with Nami running, but apparently not.
No, Nami is, as Charlie said, has cracks up as big as oceans between continents.
And they're still not done.
No,
they literally still not need done. Venus to go to, I think that's the last crack. Soda was a crack. Venus is a crack. Who else do we got in the Nami group? Liz is not a crack and Hunter's not a crack at the moment.
Liz, Tevin, and Hunter.
Yeah. But I view Tevin as the head of the Nami tribe. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to think who Tevin has beef with, and it's not with Liz or with Hunter. So yeah, Venus, Soda, gotta go to then Venus. But anyways, point being is that on the Sega tribe, I am shocked that Ben is being viewed as, I guess they didn't really have the Yanni people didn't really have an opportunity to talk about Charlie or Maria. Cause I'm like, Ben to me is like the least of the three Sigas to be worried about, in my opinion. But, you know.
Yeah, which is why he's still here.
But he was talked about like he was like this big threat. And I'm like, really, Ben?
Well, Q overreacted, number one.
What?
And Tiffany was just, she was agreeing with him. Yeah, he's a threat. But I think she sees his social threat. And she thinks that Ben was trying to play Q based on what Q was saying.
Okay.
So she's taking that information. And sure, if you have somebody who's really sweet and likable and everyone loves, and then they start doing a little bit of strategy, oh no, that's a threat.
I didn't see this coming.
But Ben wasn't trying to play Q. He was being completely honest, you know? So that's maybe just lack of information on Tiffany's part because she was hearing this all from Q. But yeah, Ben, I mean, if miracles happen and he's sitting on final three, could he win? Yes, because he's so likable.
He would need a Gabler-esque.
Yes. Has he really done anything? No, he just has a tight alliance and that's it, which is now falling apart.
Ben seems to be being set up for, like, why did we waste a week on Ben at the moment is one thing. Like, there's so many other people that if I was in the game, I'd be like, Ben, really, Ben?
For a sob story? What do you mean waste?
No, I mean, like, I'm trying to think of where Ben's going to finish. I don't think so our winner rankings are based on basically the potential to win. It doesn't, we're not basing on the order we think people are going to be voted off.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, Ben is number 8. Where is he for you?
Several.
So he's not very high on yours or mine. Oh, and Rebecca actually did send me hers this week. She has Ben at 9. So we all have him fairly, he's in the bottom half of all of our rankings. And I say this because I'm like, all right, but Ben doesn't seem like he's going to be going home anytime soon unless this was the setup here by Q. But if anything, we've set up that Q's a threat.
Yes.
You know, an actual threat.
That's what Q I'm
actually
saying.
Does control things.
I think Ben's going to make it a few more weeks.
Yeah. I could see Ben being like the unceremonious, like we get to the finale, he's the first boot of the finale.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's just like, oh, Ben, oh, we liked you. And that, like one of those people.
Yes.
That we, and then we immediately forgot the next season. Like, I couldn't even tell you, you know, who the first boot of the finale is from the whole new era. Like, maybe last season. I think it was Drew. I don't remember.
That sounds right.
That sounds right. Don't look it up. Don't well actually me. I'm talking to people online. I don't really care that much. My point is that that's how forgettable usually the first boot of a finale is. Usually somebody's like, we liked you, kind of. All right, bye. Like, mm-hmm. We're not supposed to be too invested. And Ben kind of feels like we're supposed to like him, but are we super invested in Ben? Not really.
Right.
Even his scene about having the panic attack, in my opinion, was Kenzie focused.
Yes.
It was not really, it happened to Ben, but it was Kenzie focused.
Mm-hmm.
And it could have been cut out of the show super easily. In fact, that is prime secret scene material. That's usually what falls into a secret scene if it's not important, but it is important. So therefore it's left in the show.
Yeah.
And it wasn't about Ben. I mean, it was about Ben, but it wasn't about Ben.
Mm-hmm.
And it was included in the show like 3 times. And I'm like, the first time it happened would have been a secret scene if these people were not important to the, if one of these people, if not both these people are important at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So Ben's part of that scene. I think it was more Kenzie focused, in my opinion. But, you know, you can look at it reverse because obviously I'm hinting that I think it's important for Kenzie, but maybe Ben gets to the end and Kenzie's on the journey and Kenzie gives Ben a vote. You know, that could be the, one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to sit here and straight up say, oh, it only means that Kenzie gets to the end and Ben votes for Kenzie or something like that. Not saying that. It could be we get an important decision later. Ben's split between two people and Kenzie and somebody else. And he's like, kind of like, well, I'm going to pick Kenzie because Kenzie and I have a friendship, a connection. Yeah. So that's all the scene could be setting up. It could be setting up one of these things. It's usually why they leave stuff like this in the show. It's like to explain something that's going to happen later.
Mm-hmm.
So we're set up now. Where's the payoff? We'll find out.
Right.
Ben, though, lowly ranked for all of us. Do you have anything else on him?
Not really. Nope.
All right. Our next player is
Charlie. Charlie still has his shot in the dark. No votes against Charlie as of yet.
Heck, last night I felt like his group he was in, it was mostly from Charlie's perspective.
Yes.
Most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, we heard a lot from Venus last night, but
Venus is definitely main character, no question.
Yes. But yeah, it was basically, how are we going to save Charlie? Don't worry, Charlie, we'll save you. You know, whether it's Soda or Tevin or even Venus coming to talk to him, it's kind of like, yeah, technically you're on the outs. Technically you're the right vote, quote unquote. But everyone wanted to save him. Everyone wanted to keep Charlie. So that's a really good point for Charlie. Everyone likes him. Everyone kind of thinks, I think everyone's underestimating him right now. As we saw in the secret scene with Q, Charlie hasn't done anything this game, you know?
And to be fair, Charlie hasn't done anything in this game. Can you name something Charlie has done in the game? The edit's been favorable towards him, but what has Charlie done to gain favor with the jury?
I think, well, number one, his first, and this is, well, we talk about jury favor after the merge. So you're talking about just this episode.
Yeah. And last episode.
I think what Charlie does really well is he does handle the stress great. You know, like, yeah, he's saying underneath he was stressing out about them all laying at the beach and chilling after their feast, but he still laid on the beach and chilled. He did not be like, okay, guys, let's talk. Or he didn't start scrambling or panicking.
Yeah.
And when people will come and talk to him, he was always saying, yes, let's do it. Let's do it. You know, he was real with Maria. And even with Venus, I think there was one time with Venus, he's like, yeah, I think I'm going to play the shot in the dark because I really think it's me, because he knew what was really going on. So sure, he lied to Venus and maybe didn't want to go along with her plan, but he handled Venus better than, say, Maria handled Venus or even Soda handled Venus. He is so good with people.
I didn't say Charlie's not good at the game. I'm saying if Q says he hasn't done anything, I think Q's implying, what has he done to win? And sure, we just started the merge.
Well, he doesn't know about Charlie and Maria back on Sega, where Charlie and Maria were in control of the vote to get Jem out first and solidify the alliance of the boys. Like, he doesn't know that Charlie has been strategic this whole time.
But Tim's not on the jury, so who gives a rip about the boys?
He
needs Ben on the jury and Maria on the jury.
I'm just saying Charlie...
And it's really early to have this kind of talk, but...
I know, that's what I'm saying. But I'm saying Charlie has made strategic moves, but the merge tribe hasn't seen them yet. All we've seen from Charlie after the merge is how well he handles pressure and how he's good at talking to people.
Which is left right in the show now, and Q smack talk was left out. So
yes.
There you go.
Right now, I think that's super important And you want your threat level to be really low right now. It's the merge. I mean, people are going to take out threats left and right, especially in this new area. Like, you can't just waste time after the merge. So I think he's in a super good spot. I mean, he handles stress well. He handles Venus well. Everyone likes him. Everyone wanted to keep him. Nobody wanted to vote out Charlie last night, even though he was the smart move.
Because the Nami versus Sega thing is not important to the Nami group, apparently.
Right. It's not. It's it was not. Important to Sika, but it's not important to
Nami. Like, came into the merge almost not caring.
Nami self-destructed very well.
Yeah, Nami's more interested in yeah, because they never got to go to tribal. They never got to let out any of their anger with each other mm-hmm. in vote form, I guess.
Right.
So it's all coming to a head here. And I think this is, it really is, man, if you play Survivor in the budget era, you're on episode 5 or whatever, the 5th tribal of the season, it might be not a terrible idea to throw the challenge. I hate saying it, and I think we talked about this. It's not a terrible idea to throw the challenge just so your tribe goes to tribal once, because that might actually help. Because if you go to the merge and you've never voted each other off, holy cow, you know, people's issues with each other have been built up over 12 days, 13 days. It hasn't gone well. We have yet to see a tribe. And the only exception is 41. So I'm not saying it's a golden rule. 41, the blue tribe, I forget their name. The blue tribe never went to tribal. Get to the merge, and I think 2 of the 3 of them got to the final 3, and then of course Erica won. She was one of the blues.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a golden rule. It's just like, it's not a terrible idea. It just depends on how your tribe is vibing, you know.
Right.
Sika was getting along really well. I think even if they didn't go to tribal, they're getting real. But Nami, everyone's talking smack behind each other's backs. I think Hunter was not talking a smack, but I think pretty much everyone else talking smack in one way or another about another person.
Right.
Yeah.
Well. Again, just back to Charlie, I think, and I'm not saying you're wrong, I personally don't want to ever throw a challenge, but it does solidify, I see what you're saying about like solidifying alliances and getting rid of people that are causing stress
mm-hmm.
so that you can, you know, maybe just focus more on your game.
Mm-hmm. Just an idea. Throwing challenges in general is a horrendous idea. It would need to literally be timed at the very end of the pre-merge, for in my opinion. You do it any earlier, you risk our whole tribe goes on a free fall,
mm-hmm.
which I think is usually what happens when somebody throws a challenge. You do it too early, and then there's like episodes where you just keep losing and losing and losing. It's like, oh, you should never have done mm-hmm. that. You totally reverse the course.
Yeah, you lose momentum. Yeah. It really is. It's a thing.
So Charlie, I have him ranked at 4.
I still have him ranked at 3.
Wow.
I almost moved someone above him, but I stuck to my guns. I think he has a really good chance, and he's so good with people, and his threat level is so low.
Rebecca has him at 4, though she had him at 3 last night, for those who listened to our podcast yesterday, until during the episode I talked her out of it unintentionally. I wasn't trying to change her ranking, but she had him at 3 pre-podcast, then mid-podcast changes him to 4. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
I like Charlie. I think he's a good contestant. Yeah.
I don't know about Charlie winning, but it's definitely not out of contention by any means. I mean, Charlie reaches final 3. I could see a case.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, I struggle to see how Charlie gets there, maybe. But because I feel like, he needs his Nami to continue to go after each other. He mm-hmm. needs at some point Yanu to throw one of their own. He needs people to stop targeting Sega so hard. Right. And I think Sega now being equal numbers to Yanu is actually going to be super helpful mm-hmm. to everyone on Sega.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Sega. I think his threat level is so low right now. No one really thinks he's a threat. And there's going to be other big targets taken out before him. So,
all right, let's move on. Who's next?
So next we have Hunter. He has 2 votes against him, still has his shot in the dark and his hidden immunity idol.
But he's never been skunked.
Important. His name's still in the middle of the screen as far as I know.
No flipping backstory though yet. No, we did get one.
He has a backstory from episode 3.
He has everything you're looking for.
And
he has a slow-mo shot in the beginning of the theme song.
Yes.
Which is not important, but it is important.
Yes.
Because none of those people are gone yet.
Mm-hmm.
None.
Mm-hmm.
None. Out of 10 people, all 4 slow-mo shots are in the top 10.
Right. I still have Hunter pretty high in my rankings. I think that he has, you know, he has the idol. He has a pretty tight alliance with Tevin. He's not going to be one of the Nami members voted off anytime soon. I don't think he's not perceived right now as one of the bigger targets, except for in challenges.
Q said he could take him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Q thinks he can beat him, which I get it. Q's a professional athlete and he's like, yeah, I could take this high school teacher. But at the same time, has Q been practicing? Yeah, these specific kinds of, like, it's okay to be an athlete, but there's just like specific I don't even know what you Hunter call these.
Hunter has specific skill sets.
Yes. Hunter has practiced survivor challenges versus Q is just good at whatever sport he plays.
And Hunter's built them, which means not only has he practiced them, but he's built them with his own hands. So he understands exactly how they work. And it's almost like, you know, like, sure, you can shoot a gun. And this is, hopefully this makes sense as an example. But taking apart a gun and putting it back together, like, gives you so much like, oh, that's how this thing works. Mm-hmm. Whereas just like doing it, like, you kind of get a sense. But I feel like, and it goes for many things. I was just thinking my time in the Navy, like when we took apart a gun, I was like, oh, this is how it works.
Yeah.
I didn't really know. And then once I took it apart, put it back together, all the guns we shot, and I was like, oh, okay. It like makes you feel more confident. And so Hunter building challenges.
Yes.
Part of that.
And confidence is a big issue. Like for Q, as we've seen, because he, at times when they lose, he lacked, it was like a big blow to him and his confidence. So that could be an issue.
That's true. He's talked about quitting twice, right?
Anyways, back to Hunter.
Yeah.
Yes, twice, I think. I think it's interesting that I almost think this wasn't a good episode for him. Sure, he had more confessional counts than he has in the past, but most of his confessionals were talking about his idol and how he was unsafe.
Which I don't like.
And if he felt unsafe, he would play his idol.
Yeah.
And you could tell he felt unsafe at tribal. He wasn't sitting there, laid back, He was risking it. And so to me, it's like, oh, all we hear from Hunter is, I'm going to play my idol if I feel safe. All we see is Hunter playing, not feeling safe, but not playing his idol. So it's almost like Hunter, maybe this is his human moment where we see how he flip-flopped between what he said and what he did.
Sure.
Because so far we haven't really, sure, he had a backstory, but I don't think we really connected with Hunter like we have with other contestants so far. And I think that...
The show knew Hunter building a bed and then showing that he helps children was going to make you sympathetic towards Hunter. They knew what they were doing.
You were going to automatically sympathize with him.
Yeah.
But other than that, what else have we really seen from Hunter? Like him finding the idol and he's close with Tevin.
But which has not come up yet really because he hasn't either hasn't voted or in this tribal because of a stupid split twist, he's not even with Tevin.
Right.
So the thing with Tevin yet, he actually really hasn't even voted with Tevin yet. We're going to go into episode 8 and that'll be the first time.
Yeah.
If nothing else happens. You know, there'll be a journey or something and people got to lose their votes. God forbid we just have a normal episode.
True. You never know.
Yeah.
Anyways, I just felt like it wasn't necessarily great for all we hear from him is say, I'm going to play my idol if I don't feel safe. And then he didn't play his idol. And that's why I reacted that way when his name came up, because I'm like, are you serious? Is Hunter going to go out because he didn't play his idol? And that's just going to be like so frustrating.
Mary was she was like copping the drama.
He did trust. You know, he trusted Yanu and it worked out for him. Mm-hmm. And I think that, he is in a good spot. His alliance with Tevin, plus now his alliance with Yanu. Yanu doesn't perceive him as a threat at this point. We didn't hear his name come up like at all, really, except for, Hunter's kind of the obvious because he's the only Nami.
Sure.
But other than that, it's not like, oh, Hunter needs to be got out because he's a massive threat. I think Tim said that we need to get Hunter out because he's a big physical threat.
Yeah.
But Q was like, he's not going to win the
Nobody
next.
Nobody listens to Tim.
Q says he's not going to win the next 10 immunities or something. Yeah. Nobody does that, which he's right. But now I'm hoping that Hunter
there's not 10
go.
Left.
I know. And there's that's what I was going to say. Is there 10? I'm not sure. Just because there's
six.
Yeah.
Top of my head, to reach final four, there's six. So episode 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. The finale's 13. That's our final five immunity. That's all you need to get to fire.
Mm-hmm.
The winning the immunity of fire.
Right.
Hunter's practice fire.
Right.
He needs to win six just to clean sweep. Five plus his immunity play, though, would get him there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Immunity idol play. Right. So here, I was wondering, though, I don't know why I just thought. So Rebecca and I have Hunter ranked at 5. Where do you have him ranked
4.
At?
4.
Okay. So we're all about the same. What if every single person played the shot in the dark at once? What if every single person did that? What's the backup plan for the show? They just let everyone go back to camp?
That is an interesting dilemma.
They need to have a contingency for everything because you just don't know. So I wonder what the contingency is if every... I don't know why I just thought of this now. But every single person played the shot in the dark. I'm like, okay, but then what happens? Because everyone just loses their vote. Nobody can vote. That's the rule. Mm-hmm. So does Jeff decide? Everyone builds a fire. We do a fire making tiebreaker between 10 people.
Well, or they draw rocks. I guess.
Yeah. Oh, that would probably be it.
That would be what I would imagine.
Oh, okay. Let's move on. I just had that thought and I was like, what the heck? If you all know, let me know down in the comments because I'm like, what would they do? Probably draw rocks. All right, who's next, Mary?
Next, we have Kinsey.
Kinsey
has no idols or advantages or votes against her. She still has her shot in the dark.
I thought last night we were leading right into an emotional backstory with her. Like, mm-hmm. I was flabbergasted. Mm-hmm. That's a $5 word, maybe. But anyways, I was flabbergasted that Kinsey, during that Ben scene, didn't get one because it seemed like it was being set up for it. And then again, when she wins immunity, she said something like, I don't quit. And I'm like, classic. Mm-hmm. classic. So I'm like, what? I was blown away. I was like, felt like it was all the lead and everything, all the editing stuff they normally do. Yeah. And then we didn't get it. And I'm like, now they've done this before. We talked about last season. We're like, we swore Bruce, like the way like Bruce should have had one, the way they talked and then just didn't happen. But he got one the next week.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, Bruce did not win. Bruce is voted off. So I'm saying that there's a history where it's like, it feels like it should have happened, but it doesn't. And it's just so we can do it in another episode for maybe maximum impact, I guess, in the story or whatever. True. But Kinsey, man, like that Ben scene happens and I'm like, this is 101 to giving away who the winner is. Like scenes like this that feel unnecessary because frankly they are. Ben wasn't pulled from the game. That's what I thought was about to happen, by the way. I thought we were about to have a medevac.
I did too.
So when Ben doesn't get medevaced, he just has a panic attack. Kinsey like holds his hand, hugs him, whatever she does, empathizes with him, makes him not feel like a complete goof for having this happen. And Ben's like, oh, I'm so thankful for Kinsey. And it's brought up like three times this episode. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, so as I said earlier in Ben's segment, I'm like, either A, Ben's going to come to a crucial point where he has to vote with Kinsey or against her or something like that. Mm-hmm. And this will be a factor. Or it could be the one that most of us are thinking, which is, she gets the final three and he votes for her to win.
Right.
I'm like, why else leave the scene in? Mm-hmm. What is this scene? And why do we bring it up three times?
Yeah.
It wasn't once. It wasn't even a secret scene. It was three times in the episode. It was very much made a point of.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it was a great episode for Kinsey. I definitely almost moved her up several spots. Several spots.
Wow.
Not seven, just a couple of spots. But yeah, you're right. I mean, with the whole Kinsey and Ben talks about how good it was. Kinsey talks about how she just wanted to connect with people. Even at Tribal, Ben is again like, I'm just connected to Kinsey. Kinsey, I'm connected to Ben. I'm connected to everybody, you know. So yes, it was brought up a lot during the episode. And also Q giving Kinsey credit and everyone clapping for her at Tribal was another.
By the way, she beats Tiffany by like 1 second on that challenge.
Exactly, yeah.
1 second.
But she did it.
It was Kinsey who got most of the credit though when he talked about it at Tribal.
Yes. Exactly.
Why was this left in? Why do you think?
Well, and I know I've that's why I struggled. That's why I struggled. The only reason I didn't move her up is because in her confessional where she's talking about how she helped Ben, she says, I don't care if I lose $1 million. I have to have relationships with people.
No. These are quotes. These are good. That's a good quote.
It could go either way.
That's a great quote.
It could go to, we should give her
the winner.
Yes, I understand. No, she seems like a genuinely like kind person. And she's someone I would want to have $1 million to help other people or whatever. You know, like I'm not afraid she's going to just go blow it all. I like Kinsey. I don't know. I just feel like it's almost too much too soon. We're like billing her up so much right now. And we just got to the merge. Sure. So I feel like she's just going to be a fan favorite, but
I feel like we spent the whole pre-merge kind of showing that Kinsey was actually on the outs of Q and Tiffany, and we've had a turnaround here. It feels like now Q's on the outs of Tiffany.
Oh, yes, definitely.
With Tiffany. And at the end of the day, I still think Tiffany is the most consistent story here. I think Kinsey is just the hot commodity at the moment. If this was like the stock market, she's the stock that's rising up the fastest. But Tiffany's been high the whole time.
Right.
So when I say I rank Kinsey number one, it's like, yeah, it's like a 1A, 1B situation. Like Kinsey and Tiffany are almost tied to me. At the moment, Kinsey gets an edge, but it could just because her stock is rising so fast at the moment.
Right. And that's what I feel. I feel like she's more like a shooting star kind of thing. Like she's going to be bright and glorious and she's going to make people feel warm and fuzzy. Mm-hmm. She's going to get voted out.
I always even mentioned that Banu said, watch out for Kinsey.
She's a mermaid dragon. Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, to be fair, nobody should be listening to Bonnie about strategy.
Yes.
So just because he's right once, you know, even a broken clock is right twice a day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Kinsey, though, super high. I think even Rebecca has her at number three. Where do you have her?
Fifth.
So Kenzie's never been skunked. We are waiting for the emotional backstory. I do need to mention that Kinsey has yet to have the emotional backstory, but She also had that montage where we were like, ooh, they don't do that to winners.
Yeah. It was kind of negative content.
It's rough. Like, that being there is the only thing that makes me go, she's one and it's not even close, because I can't say that. Which I did say about Tevin earlier, by the way.
Yes.
But also, Tevin had not been a tribal yet. So I'm just saying things. It's every season in the pre-merge. I'm just saying things. So I'm like, we need to get people to the merge to really know where everyone stands.
Right. It is hard to tell. I mean, there's, as you say, there's always clues throughout. But there are lots of clues for lots of people. And you want to know your winner. You want to get to know their backstory and all that stuff in this new area.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like we know Kinsey without having an emotional backstory.
If she wins, we're going to get one.
If she wins, we'll get one. I'm not really worried about that. I really am worried just about the timing of her. It seems like she is on the rise and it's too early for that. Sure. That's why that is the only reason she's still.
I mean, Dee started rising in episode 2 of last year when she had the big toe thing.
Okay.
So.
No, that is not a rise. That is a funny story. And then her
emotional backstory is episode 5. So.
Okay.
I'm just saying a lot of these new eras, the budget era, it's like one season just copies the other one. 42 copies 41.
Mm-hmm.
Though I will say it's time and time again, I think I feel like they did a large re-edit of that season. 44 copies 43, 46 is going to copy 45 because they film them back to back, and the team that edits them, the producers, whoever, these seasons are happening back to back. So a lot of decisions are going to be made around the same time when these people are around the same people, creatively. There's not going to be too much that's changed, I believe, in the couple of months that they've edited. But come 47, 48 or 47 and 48, we might see different decisions be made. But most of the time, when these back-to-back seasons, there's a little bit of copy pasting.
Right.
I don't know why I said it like that. Copying and pasting. There we go. Anyways, my point being is that Kenzie's a hot stock right now. She's a hot commodity. I see more people jumping on the Kenzie bandwagon. It made sense early in the game. I was high on her early in the game. And I want to point out that her negatives, like one of the scenes was, remember when Bonnie and Jess were like, we gotta get out Kenzie. Where the heck are Bonnie and Jess?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, but that wasn't all Kenzie.
Kenzie's mermaid dragon dust.
I almost moved her up, but I'm just saying, we'll see.
Yeah,
I understand where you're coming from.
Oh, and that's when we get to Tiffany. Like, there's a huge counter. I think there's a huge counter argument for Tiffany why she should be number one over Kenzie. So, anyways, I'm high on Kenzie, but I, as always, will be swayed. But I think really, come the merge, every season we do this podcast by the merge, with the exception of Gabler, we pretty much know who the couple people are there.
Yeah.
They're going to win
the
this
top
game.
Contenders. For
we really our top threes, the winners. I have to go back and check, but I think Erica took us to episode 9 or 10, to be fair. So I sit here and say every time, but it feels like we mostly got this nailed down. By the time we reach the finale, we know, with the exception of Gabler, which I still find hilarious.
Yeah. Me too. I would
say if Liz wins the season, it's the Gabler win. It's a Gabler win.
Yeah, that would be
it's a Gabler win.
I feel like my top five are all kind of 1A, 1B, 1C, maybe. And the bottom five are just
not for me. I think I just got a 1A, 1B. After that, it is definitely a separation with each number. But I'm glad yours are closer. But anyways, let's move on.
All right.
To our next player.
Our next player is your favorite player, Liz. Still has her shot in the dark.
She doesn't have anything, right? No advantages, no emotional backstory.
No, nothing like that.
I was hoping we'd get an emotional backstory, kind of like a Xander from 41, where it's like, when I was a kid, I didn't have any money, but when I turned 18, I got a large inheritance from my parents kind of thing. That's what I was hoping for. One of those where it's like, oh, I felt so bad for you until you got the inheritance thing. Oh, now I... So anyways, it was funny. If you follow Liz on Twitter or Instagram or whatever, I think it was on Twitter, she posted a picture of her watch. She's watching the episode and she posted a screenshot of her. She also had Googled the word red herring because she said she had never heard of it in her entire life. And I'm like, how can one be so rich that you don't even hear of, I don't even know if that's a rich thing. How have you never heard of red herring before? She's at least in her, I don't know what her age is, top of my head. I can look. But I feel like at her age, I'm surprised she had never heard of red herring.
That is surprising. Yeah.
Liz is not winning, by the way. If she wins, it's amazing. She is 35, Mary.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought she was a bit younger. All right. Credit to her team of specialists that make her look younger, obviously.
Yes.
Yes, that she pays big dollars to.
My favorite.
She couldn't even bring her bag to tribal. It was so full of gold.
My favorite moment from Liz this week was, it had to have been a flashback. I don't know. Anyways, everyone excited at camp saying, we're merged, we're finally all together, yay. Cut to Liz yawning. And it was just like, it was just hilarious, like the timing, which, you know, was on purpose. But anyways, and yeah, even in her one confessional that we talked about, it's basically saying, she's quoting Tevin. She says, soda gotta go.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that Tevin said that.
Yeah.
So it's basically like, we're hearing that Liz has not an original thought. She just is going to go along with Tevin.
She doesn't need to think Mary. Okay. That's what she pays people to do for her.
Yeah.
But for real, Liz is not winning. At the moment, though, I struggle to think why we would ever waste a week on voting off Liz at the same time.
Yeah.
Why would anyone be like, oh, Liz, I got to get rid of Liz. Even you even said that secret scene from Q where he's like, I don't have a read on Liz. Like, I don't even know if she's playing the game.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's probably a food thing. She did mention how she's like allergic to everything. And I guess the sandwiches they got to eat in the episode were gluten free. That was part of her post that I read.
Okay, cool.
Yes. So I guess she was like so excited when that happened. I feel like Survivor needs to, despite Liz being hilarious casting for the little amount of content she's given us, they do probably should double check that in the future. Because I feel like you have a kind of, and I hate to say the word, but a dud of a player because she can't eat at all. Like she, there's nothing she can eat because of her allergies.
Yeah.
They should double check that stuff. If they don't already, they should really, because like, I wish Liz had more energy. Because Liz with more energy would be more fun.
Maybe that is the, maybe that's all it is.
But also, is it a strategy to be so dead? She didn't even have the energy to bring her bag to tribal. Okay. I'm sure it was actually, she's felt safe, but it's funnier to think she just didn't have the energy.
Yeah. She didn't seem dead at tribal. She was all like cheery and talking and stuff. Probably because
she had sandwiches.
She had sandwiches, yeah. Gluten-free sandwiches. You're probably
the same
right.
Day. Same day they had tribal.
That's probably it then.
Get Liz on every reward challenge so you can get more Liz content. That's all I'm saying. The Survivor gods were smiling on her, she said. You know, it was all good. That was literally in her confessional.
Yep.
So maybe she had one or two last night. Really, we don't have much on Liz. We just like to joke. And yes, Liz and her fat sacks cash, the image. I love when people finally see it in the podcast. I did just start last week, but somebody commented they just saw it this week.
Oh, you haven't? Oh, I
for the running images
it.
On the podcast. Well, you record with me. I wouldn't expect you to watch. That'd be but anyways, yes, I put everyone has their name and her says Liz and her fat sex cash.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, there you go. If we did the starting 43, I'd put Sammy. He's only 19. Anyways, yeah. You know, live and learn. But yeah, Liz, for those who are still around and are annoyed by our jokes, you're welcome. She's rich.
Let's,
I don't know what more you want.
Let's say her number one placement at the same time.
10. Yeah, we all have her. All three of us have her at last. But if she wins, it might be more hilarious than Gabler winning.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
I would die of laughter if we're at the finale in the reunion. Liz is explaining how this $1 million of cash is not much to her because she's already loaded.
And so she's just going to give it all away, of course.
No,
but, you know.
Opposite. No, she's no Gabler.
She's going to invest it.
Yeah. Liz is not giving away $1 million.
Gotcha. Okay.
Gabler is an older man who seemed like he's doing just fine. Didn't need the million. And he really had a legit cause he wanted to invest in. Liz, I think, would just keep it all. And it would be even more, it would be the funniest thing.
Yeah.
It's funny. So anyways, that's Liz. All right, who's next?
Next is Maria. She still has her shot in the dark, but no other advantages or idols. And she has had an emotional backstory, though, in episode 4.
Maria, I love you. Yes, Maria had an emotional backstory, but we talked about how it felt kind of rushed.
Mm-hmm.
But they did include it. She has also been skunked in an episode, which is unfortunate.
Yes.
I am not as high on Maria as I was in the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. She's not out of contention by any means. But definitely felt like in the beginning of the season, they hyped up Maria more than she actually ended up panning out to be.
Right. Yeah, I don't think it was a great episode for Maria this week, even though she won immunity. This is like one of the few times where the person who won immunity in a small group setting like this, I'm not talking about like when you have 10 people and only one is immune. I'm talking about in this small group, one person has immunity. Usually that person is kind of like
controlling.
Yeah, the decision maker of who's going to go out. That is not the case. Like, and that could be her personality or whatever, but it was definitely still Tevin. And to some extent, I want to throw soda in there, but as
soda
far
had
as
a
like
big decision on getting herself voted off, you mean?
No, as far as like going out and making decisions or trying to make decisions for the tribe or for the group, whatever. Yeah, but Maria was just like really passive, it felt like, or what we're shown is she was passive. Venus tries to work with her. She doesn't handle Venus very well. To be fair, I'm sure she's tired and I don't know, like just done with Venus. I think everyone is to an extent, but it just wasn't a good look for her. She was kind of snippy with Venus. She just, the only person we really saw her talking to is Charlie.
Which, I want to talk about the Venus thing real quick.
Sure.
What are your thoughts on the Venus Maria conversation? I don't want to give you my thoughts yet.
Okay. Well, like I said, I mean, Venus is scrambling, number one, because that's what Venus does. Maria, her response, I don't think was good, because all she said was, okay, I'm going to go talk around to people. I don't want to commit, which is, I guess, fine, especially if you haven't really played with this person before. But as we've talked about so many times, you just say yes. If somebody comes to you, you say yes.
I guess I was more referencing the conversation where she says, I feel pressured by you.
Oh, the second conversation?
That was one I was more thinking of. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think she just had enough of it and she was going to be honest. And Venus says, Venus does this a lot. Why aren't you talking to me? What's wrong? Mm-hmm. Like, why don't you like me kind of thing? And it, like a whiny little kid. And I think at some point you just
Maria's
say,
like, you're annoying.
You're annoying.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing else. Like, that's the truth. You're annoying. And Maria did it in a kind way. She wasn't like rude. She was saying, I felt like you're being very aggressive towards me and I don't work that way.
I don't like being pressured.
I can't do that.
And then her confessional, she talks about how Venus is a 20-year-old, or she says it to Venus's face. I forget which one. She says it though.
In her confessional, she said she's a 20-year-old kid.
And so, Mary, in my opinion, I feel like they're both right, if that makes sense. I feel like Venus's opinion is right about Maria as well. Like, there is some ego there, and we all have some ego, to be clear. All of us. Like, it's rare to find somebody with any ego. So I can't say that Maria's ego has no part of this conversation with Venus when she literally references her age.
Mm-hmm.
The age should not matter if there's no ego. So I was like, they're both right, but also they're both wrong. But also, like, at the end of the day, Maria is going to win out. I mean, maybe not win. Maybe Venus will finish better than her. But I'm saying, though, is in this conversation, I think I would agree with Maria.
Mm-hmm.
But Venus has a point. You can disagree. It's fine.
Sure. Everyone has a little bit of ego. But I think really what Maria was saying was, I've been there. I was 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she was saying I was aggressive like that too, but I've learned and I'm not dealing with, like, I'm not going there again.
Yeah.
I don't have to deal with you. I don't want to work with you. Why? And in Survivor, that's
not a great way to placate somebody, by the way.
No, it's not. I understand. In general, in life and in Survivor,
yeah,
you don't want to just completely shut somebody off. But at the same time, I think too many people in real life are just fluff and tell what people want to hear versus telling the truth.
Yeah.
Like, the truth is the only way you're going to grow and change. So if somebody's being annoying, they need to be told in a kind, motherly way, whatever, nice way. I'm saying motherly because of Maria. You know, this is how you're coming across to people. You could be better. You could do something
different. She's correct. But also, I think Venus is correct. I think they're both correct.
Okay.
And you can just, as I said, it's okay to disagree. I don't like think less of anyone disagreeing with me. My opinions are all over the place and they're strong.
I don't think Venus Venus might be correct that Maria has ego. Sure, I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Venus's approach to everyone is always way too aggressive.
Venus's approach, yes, I agree, is terrible.
So I don't understand.
I'm talking about Venus's opinion on Maria. I thought was correct. But I also think Maria's correct, because Venus, as we've consistently seen, she's the common denominator and notice how nobody really wants to work with Venus, and she talks to, like, all these people, but
yes,
even Randon, like, kind of settled for Venus. Not that you wanted to work with Venus. So I think Venus is the common denominator in terms of the problem.
Yeah.
Because people have issues with others. It's like Venus, there's no one who wants to work with Venus.
Right.
No one. No one has said, I'm with Venus. Mm-hmm. Venus doesn't have, like, a number one.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's hard, though, in such a fast game, low on food, you know, maybe to evaluate yourself and see that.
Right.
So anyway.
Well, I think Venus handled the criticism well from Maria as far as just, like, that's just my personality. Like, I'm desperate over here and I'm trying to get something going.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry I came off as passive. I wasn't trying to be aggressive. That is just how I'm playing, how I have to play right now. And so that's fine. Like, having an honest comeback is fine too.
That's why I said I think they're both correct.
Sure. Anyways, for Maria winning immunity, it didn't feel like it was much about Maria. She's nice. She's sweet. I think she's likable. She won immunity, so she's strong.
I struggle to see Maria getting final three and winning with the story being told right now.
Right now, there's not much more we know about Maria.
I see Maria being targeted in the next few episodes because she's a target. Heck, she just won immunity.
Yeah.
Also, I want to point out that the immunity win that her and Kenzie got, I felt like Kenzie got, like, a moment to shine. Hug Jeff. Or wait, was that Maria?
Maria hugged Jeff.
Sorry. Kenzie had a moment to shine. It felt like Maria's, and this is just my opinion, was kind of yada yada through. I don't know. That's just my opinion, because we got like a reflection from Kenzie back at camp. Mm-hmm. Did we really get a reflection from Maria back at camp by her immunity win? Now, if she did, I apologize.
Just my, don't remember. Yeah.
How I remember the events mm-hmm. taking place.
That's true.
So it felt like Kenzie got a bit more time to shine on the her immunity win, whereas Maria was kind of yada yada'd.
I think Maria did have a confessional talking about the win.
Okay.
So I think it's just more her personality. She's just more calm about it. And, you know, Kenzie's like, I finally won. Yeah. We're good, you know.
And I know we miss stuff because we're like seeing her furiously writing notes while us watching an episode. Mm-hmm. And most people who listen aren't doing that. They're just watching the episode so they can take everything in. There's things we're going to mention you forgot. There's things you're going to mention that we missed. So it happens. Anyways, Maria for me is ranked number 6. Where do you have her?
Same. Yeah.
Wow. Six. And Rebecca has her at 6 as well. We're all in sync on that one. All right. Who's next?
Next is Q. So Q still has a shot in the dark. No votes against him.
I want to point out, I'm looking at our rankings right now, that in the previous seasons, whenever you do the Wednesday podcast with me, it's when we record them. For those listening, when we do our Wednesday podcast, it feels like you and I are more in sync with our rankings.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I record with Rebecca on Thursday, she would be kind of our wild card. It's reversed, Mary. Now that I'm recording with Rebecca on Wednesday, I'm looking at our rankings. Rebecca and I are more in sync, and you're the wild card, and I like it.
It's probably because I have more time to just like think about it and process it. Sure. So maybe I have different answers.
I go from recording right after the episode to sleeping to the next day recording again. So like how much time have I had really to process a person? It's probably what it is. But anyways, I just thought that was funny.
That is
Q. Q, while he has control right now and has some power, if we have been set up that Q is going to go
mm-hmm.
in the next couple episodes, it feels like he's not winning. Q, I have number 7.
He's 9 for me.
7 for Rebecca as well. That's why I was bringing up how similar rankings are.
Gotcha.
7 is same. We're both on 7 on Cube. I think Q is, I mean, he evaluates himself a bit too. I don't know if it's ego, but it's probably ego. But in terms of how he evaluates himself, you know, he thinks he can take Hunter. You know, he's not worried about anybody. Really, he's not worried about anybody.
Yeah.
He worried about Ben for a minute. I was saying last night, though, when
he's not worried about anybody, but he's worried about everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Last night when Q was like, all right, we're voting off Tim. That's the final decision. And mm-hmm. then like 5 minutes later, okay, now we're voting off Ben. That's the final decision. Yeah. I think I said this to you and I said this to Rebecca. I was like, man, that's me playing Survivor right there.
Yes, he did.
Strong opinions and they will change based on new evidence at any moment.
If you play, you have to go in finding somebody who will just say, I'll vote with you. Just make the decision.
I need to find a Mary. Or we need to play Blood versus Water, you and me.
Sure, that'd be fun.
And then if you were there, you could help me, like, you could balance me. I need someone to balance me. I need mm-hmm. a person that balances me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Q doesn't, I mean, he has the Anu girls, who I think are the only reason he's still in the game at this point. Obviously, they're helping him out. They're his sounding board to talk through these things. I mean, for as much as he berated Charlie for making an emotional decision, he makes emotional decisions all the time. And it's just like whatever he feels in that moment that a player is doing or saying, if he feels threatened by it, then he wants to vote that person.
Mm-hmm.
And so versus like just looking at every player, what are their threats? What's the pros of voting this person off? What's the pros of keeping them? You know, I feel like Tiffany is so good at that. Even in their conversation, you know, Q's like, well, this and this and this. And Tiffany's like, well, sure, that's not good, but the original plan, like, this is better, mm-hmm. you know? So she's helping Q out with that right now, but he's going to get on people's nerves. I mean, he's making fun of Sega's tribe. He's trying to get people to play a game at the immunity, which I don't know if that was him trying to mess with people, like get them distracted.
Sure.
Or if he really wanted to play a game too, just like not be bored and get distracted that way. But like people wouldn't take him seriously. It didn't seem like, at least Charlie made fun of him. I don't know. I think Ben also didn't really know the game. But then, like, how do you not understand? I don't know. It felt like people were making fun of Q. And then even later in the episode or in the challenge, Tim's like telling Q to shut up from the bench, you know? And
yeah, well,
which I mean, Tim at the end of the day,
Q ended up winning that battle. But
sure,
it is indicative of Q's personality.
Right. And another thing I noticed is when Ben's doing his whole emotional thing at Tribal, like everyone is, oh, Ben, you know, except for Q. He's like biting his lips, trying not to laugh and looking over at Hunter with like big eyes.
Oh,
like,
I know. Ben's getting emotional backstory with the music and everything. And you're right. And whenever they cut to a wide shot, Q if this story was being told from Q's perspective, we'd be getting goofy music or this sort of cut from the show.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's not Q's perspective, it's Ben or Kenzie's in this case.
Right.
It's like sad music focusing on Ben. And Q, it was literally in the background. You're right. Like biting his like lip, trying not to laugh.
Right.
This is me playing Survivor.
Yes.
And this would be a problem. Because I could not sit there. I would be laughing at everyone giving their emotional backstories to Jeff. I would die of laughter. It's a real problem. I already know my issues.
If I ever play this game,
that's why I would need you there or someone who could balance me. I need the JT to my Steven or the Steven to my JT, whoever's the balance. I don't know. I don't think I'm either of those people. I'm saying they were perfectly balanced for each other.
Yeah. I get it. No, I mean, I like Q. I think it's just, he's like the typical, I've got this game under control. I'm good. And he's going to fall.
Yeah.
So, like,
no, next couple episodes. Yeah. I think Kenzie and Tiffany will be willing to throw him under the bus.
Oh, yeah. Tiffany and Kenzie are getting upset with him. So
Yanu now has the same numbers as Siga.
Yes.
Therefore, Siga is no longer viewed as this massive threat. Mm-hmm. Nami has 4 and the other two tribes have 3. Well, mm-hmm. now everyone's about equal.
Right.
Yanu is going to have to kill somebody in survivor terms to lower their own threat level.
Right. Yeah.
Hugh is the obvious target.
I really think he'll be going, if not next week, then the week after.
Yeah. If you're playing fantasy, vote for Q.
That's my opinion.
If you're playing in our fantasy league that we have on Patreon, I would put this is, I moved way up in the rankings. I nailed Tim. I knew Tim was going.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, Tim is being set up for failure here. And then I think I'd split my votes between like Liz and Soda.
Yeah.
I was like, Liz feels like she's on the verge of going. I had no idea. Or Soda. I'm like, these the kind of, anyway. So I moved up a bunch.
Good
I mean,
for you.
You're doing okay.
Yeah.
You're in the top half of our fantasy league.
Cool.
Rebecca's in the top. I think Rebecca's, I forgot. I have to look. I think you're at 19. Rebecca's at 13, something like that.
Nice.
I'm at 3.
Wow.
I shot up. Oh, you know why? It's because Kenzie got an immunity win too. Kenzie's the only person on my team right now. Banu killed me.
You know my team?
I forgot.
Jess and Tim. So
you are dead in the water.
I'm dead.
Dead.
Anyways.
Yeah, you screwed up picking Tim.
Yeah. Well, that's Q. Anything else on Q?
Bonnie screwed me. Man, imagine if I had like Kenzie and Tiffany or Kenzie and like Tab. I would be killing it right now.
Yeah.
I would literally be one. Anyways, all right. No, that's it. I think let's double check what we ranked. Q's at 7 for me and Rebecca and 9 for you. All right, who's next?
Next is Tevin. He still has his shot in the dark. He has an extra vote as well. But we've talked about this. Even if we don't hear a Tevin confessional, we hear Tevin talking a lot, you know, so he's talking to people a lot. So I feel like we don't necessarily have to have the confessional because we're still hearing from him. So, I mean, Tevin was the instigator in the Soda vote. Nobody's going to vote Soda until Tevin started
that. Soda's got to go to.
Yeah. Everyone agrees with Tevin. Tevin's sitting on the beach like a king, waiting for his subjects to come have a parley with him.
Tevin came and approached Liz while she laid on the beach. Are you sure he's the king?
Okay. Besides approaching Liz, we're shown later in the episode that Tevin is just sitting on the beach. In one of his confessionals this week, he's saying, you know what? Soda and Venus, they're toxic. They're going back and forth at each other. And you know what? That's fine with me because that gets me one step closer to $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's playing, he's making moves, but everybody likes him. I mean, again, nobody brought up Tevin's name and he was eligible to be voted. I know Soda was tight with him. Venus hates him.
Yeah.
Charlie and Maria, what do they know about
Tevin?
I think
Venus is the only person right now who'd be targeting Tevin moving forward.
Well,
at the moment.
Yes, Venus probably wouldn't have been able to sway Charlie and Maria to vote off Tevin this early.
Mm-hmm.
And then that would have been 3-3 because, you know, Soda and Liz wouldn't vote for Tevin.
I still think Tevin's guaranteed finale.
I do too. He's such a main character. He's so much fun. He's a good player. And so far in the whole Nami drama, nobody's been targeting Tevin except for Venus.
Yeah.
And we know, I don't think Venus is going to win that battle.
Or Tevin would go out right before the finale, like a Cody in 43 situation where he's like a fan favorite. But yeah, they've really dropped off from Tevin from the first few episodes. When I was really high on Tevin. And it's like, sure, they didn't go to Tribal, but yeah, Tevin was important this week for sure. But it did not feel as super positive as it did in the beginning of the season.
Sure.
Tevin's been more equalized, it feels like.
He has been hidden a bit. He is in one of the 4 faces. He did the narration for the whole season.
Yep.
He has his sob story.
Those faces are Hunter, and this is not in this order, but it's Hunter, Venus,
Tiffany.
Tevin and Tiffany. We've only talked about Hunter so far, and now we're talking about Tevin. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm still high on Tevin. I still see his edit as being more of a, not a hidden winner edit, because he's not hidden at all, but just like he doesn't have the shooting star, as I would say, of Kenzie. He's there all
his
the time.
His stock is not going up the same way it is for Kenzie. It's kind of plateaued.
It's stable. I feel like it's stable. He's still number one for me.
Number three for me.
I still think he has a great shot. I think he can win people over the end. We both talked about he knows what to tell people. He knows what people want to hear. He knows exactly what to tell them to get them to be on his side.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one maybe negative tonight was Soda thinking Venus voted her off or instigated the vote off. Which could be a positive, because then she's not mad at Tevin. Tevin did technically vote with her by voting for Venus.
Yeah. I know, and then Tevin said no. And it's like, is this an ego moment? Is he going to tell her, actually, it was me? I mean, in the next episode.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think this is a wait till final three moment to reveal.
Okay.
I think
he's going to be at the final three?
Yeah.
If he does, I feel like Tevin has a great shot at winning.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he's making final three at the moment. That's my concern.
Well, I'm
Tevin
saying
in final three can talk his way into winning.
I'm saying if Tevin's smart, which I think he is
smart,
you don't reveal at the next tribal, well, actually, it was me that instigated Soda.
That's
vote
the ego.
Because that, but if he had an ego and wanted to play off his ego, he would have said it right there. Actually, Soda, it was
me.
Well,
he did say no.
He did say no quietly. Mm-hmm. Soda didn't notice. Like, we know that he said no. I'm getting defensive.
You are
my
being
number
very defensive.
One.
Is Tevin like your secret best friend? Is he sending you fat sacks of cash?
No.
Like, what's going on here?
No, I just like Tevin, and I think he has a lot of negatives. But as we've talked about, all of his negatives are in secret scenes so far that we've seen.
True.
Facts. Everything about him has been shown to be positive, and I just think
Hunter's his number one still in the game.
Hunter's still his number one, which is a good meat shield to have at this moment. So I think Tevin's going to make it pretty far, and I think he's going to make final three, and I think he's going to win. So he's number one.
Rebecca has Tevin at number two. At the moment, I'm with you. If Tevin reaches final three, I think he wins. I just feel like they've kind of tapered off on Tevin in a way that I don't really care much for.
Mm-hmm.
So his stock has plateaued for me. He is still high. He's number three. I still feel good about him. I just feel like Tiffany's, which we're going to talk about Tiffany soon. Is Tiffany next?
Yes.
Let's just move on to Tiffany. Let's go ahead. Go to Tiffany.
All right. So Tiffany has her shot in the dark, a hidden immunity idol still.
So the reason Tiffany, for me, is higher than Tevin, she's number two for me.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, it's almost like a 1A, 1B with her and Kenzie, is that Tiffany's like, I have no issues with Tiffany's story or edit or anything. Like, this is, I wouldn't say flawless, but I just don't have any issues with it. There's no point I'm like, ooh, that's not good for Tiffany. If anything, it's constantly like Tiffany's kind of like the head of Nami, of Yanu. Kenzie or Q are kind of at the, I don't know what's the word for this, but kind of at the, Tiffany's in charge. It's Queen Tiffany.
Right.
I don't have to put that.
Yes. Well, it's definitely Kenzie I would say Kenzie follows Tiffany's lead in things. And I would say that Tiffany is able to influence Q. And he may not realize that he's following what Tiffany wants, but she gets her way with things. So,
I mean, what I just reminds me of like that, I don't know, the perfect scene that encapsulates Tiffany. Perfect is a strong word, but it's like when they're talking trash about Jess, and Tiffany's probably one of the harshest ones, but they made sure to go out of their way to back her up.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure, even though, like, what did Jess do? I don't know, but the show made sure that you were on Tiffany's side.
Right.
And then when Bonnie's like on his knees begging to Tiffany, and she's like, get up off your knees. I'm not talking to you while you're down on your knees. It's like, these would be negative if edited differently, but they're not. They're presented in a very much like, you're on Tiffany's side.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that way the whole way through. Tiffany, for me, is reaches final three and has a win, and it's like, yeah, that was a solid game. And it's nothing spectacular so far, but it's solid. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like D. It's like, yeah, that was solid. Nothing wrong.
Yeah.
You know, solid.
She's a good player. I mean, I think one thing I really like about Tiffany is how she is just able to make a decision about the vote based on logic. I mean, she how she like reels people into her vote. Like Q, she's able to, like, it's really difficult to reel a big personality like Q into what you think is the right
vote. You have to feed into their ego.
Yeah, a little bit. So every time we hear from her, it's positive content. This week, I think she didn't get a lot of content, but what we got from her this week was talking about how she knew Tim was more of a threat because of Nami's numbers. So she's still looking at the numbers and the pros and cons of each person based on logic and not just, oh, this person said this thing. Oh, no, I'm going to get scared and threaten them or, you know, vote them off. You know, she has a super tight alliance with Kinsey. Yanu, as we've said, is kind of running the show right now, and she's the one running Yanu. So she's in a great spot. And I, that's why I have her at number two, because I agree with you. I think if she makes it to the end, there are very few people that would beat her in the final three.
Yeah. Like, what if it was Kenzie and Tiffany in final three? Like, do I still have Kenzie at number one? You know, I don't, yeah. We'll see how things play out in the next six episodes. But at the moment, it's like, I still think Tiffany, I mean, Kenzie, I think we'd get a couple votes. Mm-hmm. Still think Tiffany might beat Kenzie. So maybe yeah. Tiffany should be number one. Mm-hmm. So when I say one and two, I really am saying, like, this is a neck and neck race between the two of them, right, for me. Tiffany, number two for me. Number one, what for you? Number two for
number
you?
Number two for me.
And number one for Rebecca. Rebecca yeah. has her in first.
Yeah.
All right. So who is next?
Our last player is Venus.
We're already on to Venus, yeah. huh?
She still has her shot in the dark. She has
Venus is not winning.
She has three votes against her.
Venus is not winning. Nobody connects with Venus.
She's not winning. Every comment we hear from everyone this week is like, you know, Maria saying, oh, poor Venus. She's so yeah. oblivious. Or Charlie's like, Venus is just being so aggressive and coming up to everybody.
Venus has final three goat energy written all over her.
Yes, I agree. I think people are going to, nobody wants to work with Venus. So she's a great person to take along.
It's like Jake.
Yeah.
Because nobody really wanted to work with Jake. Mm-hmm. He couldn't convince anybody to do anything he wanted. Mm-hmm. And while people like Venus, people like Jake, it's like both were just final three goats at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I like Jake way more than I like Venus.
Sure.
I think Jake just a personality had more of a difference. Yeah, I think Jake had more of a chance to win just because he was actually nice to people for the most part.
People like Jake. They just didn't want to work with them.
Yeah. I don't know why. I'm not on the beach. But anyways, it's very clear no one wants to work with Venus. Mm-hmm. So I think if she wants to make it farther, she's just got to lean into that and just be like,
I'm the jerk. She needs a huge reversal for the next six episodes to change this around. Because right now, while I do have her higher than Liz, it ain't saying much. She's at 9 for me.
Yeah, she's at,
I'm surprised you have her above Q.
I have her above Q only because I think she'll make it farther than Q, which I know this is like potential for winning. Mm-hmm. So she, like I said, my bottom three people are pretty much all equal to me. Bottom five are all like,
sure,
pretty close.
I could see a situation where Q is in final three and wins. I could see
sure.
it. I cannot see it for Venus.
No.
Rebecca has
you're right.
Venus at 8 above Ben. And I'm like, again, I could see yeah. a case where Ben could talk to people and convince them to vote for him and him win somehow. Mm-hmm. I cannot see it. There's just, it's like Liz. I just don't see it.
Yeah.
If it happens, like Venus fans will go wild. You know, riots will happen. I don't know if riots will happen. Partying will be happening in the streets. If Liz wins, it'll be hilarious. If both wins, I just don't see.
Yeah. I think... maybe I was kind of coming out along the lines of she's been alone this whole time. Nobody's been working with her. Nobody's wanted to work with her. But she's tried, you know, like she's trying to play the game. So there might be some people that respect that. But at the same time, no.
All probably by not. Myself. Yeah. Venus is the classic character you're rooting for, but just it gets nothing at the end.
Yeah.
It always makes you wonder who's second place because we're trying to figure out who the winner is. And we kind of, if Venus reaches final three, we know she's final three goat. Mm-hmm. Who's second place around here? I don't know yet.
We shall see.
Well, we don't really know who wins or final three is yet. We're just saying, like, it seems like, man, I'm more locked in on who's not going to win. Mm. So, all right. I didn't really want to spend too much time on Venus because really there ain't much. She can be a main character all day. She's not winning.
Right.
But if she wins, I am prepared to keep my words. It is okay. I will take the hit. If Venus wins, I'll have to reevaluate everything I know about winner analysis. And that's fine. That just makes it more fun if I have to reevaluate. So, anyways, that's it for this week. As I mentioned yesterday, at some point, Rebecca, Mary, and I will be on the same podcast. We were trying to make it happen today, but scheduling issues came up again. What else is new? So at some point this season, it will happen. Rebecca, Mary, and I will all have our mouths moving. Hopefully not the same time, but in the same time period on the podcast. Same time, that means that we're just all talking at once. That's rude.
That is rude.
I hate when people talk over each other. Wesley. Oh, and heads up, everyone, if you want to listen to these podcasts early with no ads, they're on Patreon for all members, including those in the free tier. If you want to pick what videos I make and watch like everything up to 6 months early, paid patrons have access to that. Link in the description. We greatly appreciate it. Patrons are basically our sponsors because until Liz sponsors us, we say no to almost every sponsor that emails us because, frankly, I don't like anything they're trying to sell you. So you are our sponsors. But one day, maybe Liz, one day. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll see you all next time. Bye. Bye.